So great to be here tonight. Just thank Pastor Schaller for his care and his concern for my wife and I and the growing team in Singapore. We leave next week, and we appreciate your prayers. And it's just a blessing to be sent out from here. It's a blessing to be a part of this ministry for so many years. And as somebody once said, it's going to keep getting gooder and gooder, right? my family has some special guests. My father-in-law is here, and his wife, Melissa. So it's great to have him. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And we will look at verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Lord, just bless these words. In Jesus' name, amen. Just for a quick note of the end of this verse, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank God for the word of God, right? Without it, we would be just living in just self-deception. We would be living in the results of the fall. Thank God for the Word of God that gives us light on motives and discerns these things. I want to just look at it from an application in a little different light, this portion. But first, in Romans chapter 11, I'd like to turn there. Starting in verse 30, for as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. These verses are talking about the amazing plan and program God has had for the world, Gentiles, Jews, dealing with groups in a very special way for the purpose of the gospel, for the purpose of mercy being revealed, and it is past finding out. It is something that you couldn't predict that God would do it this way. If you look back at how you were saved, maybe that would be something very difficult for you to predict that God would do it that way. I think everybody has a very unusual story about how they came to Christ. But God's ways are very unique in bringing us to Him. If you were to ask from the time that you were saved to where you are now, could you have predicted every move in your life that brought you here? My guess would be probably not. We couldn't have seen that coming. And it was a very special and personal pathway that brought us here tonight through His amazing providence and His grace. If Sarah was to be the mother of the promise, would she have thought that it would have happened at age 90? I don't think so. I think that was very unusual. Do you think Joseph, when he was sold into Egypt by his brothers, do you think that he saw in the future him being basically the second in power under Pharaoh, the prime minister, and pretty much managing the country? If you were to ask him when he was being sold into Egypt, would he have guessed this pathway? Would you have guessed he would be accused wrongfully, put into a jail, and then end up in the position? I don't think so. I think it's quite unknowable. I think it's quite unsearchable. And I think that's the case with us. And I think in the future, it will continue in many areas to be unknowable and unsearchable, the different things that God will lead us to do in His providence and in His plan. I think the problem is we get fixed on the unknowableness of what's happening and the unsearchableness. We try to search it. But actually, I think God wants to do something else. In the earlier part, that verse that we just read in Romans 11, he said that in verse 31, even so, these have all now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown, you may also obtain mercy. And I think God wants to give us a pathway that is unknowable and unsearchable. But in the midst of it, He wants to give us something different. And that is, He wants us to discern His motives and His intent in this amazing plan. I think He wants us to live by faith. But in what? But in the motive of the planner, in the heart of the person that is leading us to the place where we need to go, where we will prosper spiritually, where we will prosper, you know, in getting to know Christ and becoming more like Him and becoming more fruitful. He's not interested in letting you know 4 or 5 steps ahead of you, but in the step that I'm at, He wants to speak to us about His heart. He wants to allow us to grow in discerning the thoughts and intents of who God is and God's heart and God's attitude towards me, so that I can trust Him, so that I don't have to know the unsearchable. I don't have to understand the ways that are without understanding. I can enjoy and I can receive from a person whose intent is love. His intent is grace, his mercy. His intent is for me. He wants to bring me to an expected end. This is who God is. This is who Christ is. This is the game, is to know his heart and know his intent. And as Satan's plan and his intent is for us to live in failure and to live in discouragement, God's intent is the opposite. It's edification. It's building us up. It's challenging us in faith. It's experiencing who he is. So thank God that when we don't know some of the things that are happening, we can discern something. We can discern God's heart. We can discern his motives, his intents. And we can count on that. We can take it to the bank. We can take it to the bank every time. We can rest in that. We can relax in that. And we can go forward with that. Amen.
I was thinking about Pastor Mike and April going over thank you for the love and the support and prayers and great. I got a little sick on the way back, but I'm fine. Romans 8:11, right? Yes. A message. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 23. And we had a wedding in Finland. Beautiful time with family and the family of the Finns. I mean, it was amazing. It really was. It was a great time together. We had a conference in Vaasa, Finland, and then in Kiljuva, and then we had the wedding. And ministry, it was beautiful. The Spirit moved, and the joy that we had, and the words, the life, the encouragement, the edification was awesome. So I was thinking about pastoring people, and I was thinking of Pastor Mike and his family going to Singapore and just having a small group of people and getting from God a word that's going to help them. And he just shared that now, and that this ministry, the depth, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, it's past our understanding, but it happens. We're all here because of it, and we realized when we were in Finland 47 years ago, we went there, and a team. And we just did not leave the old landmarks. There's a great proverb on that. Do not leave the old landmarks, but get it in your spirit and get it in your heart, the doctrine and the truth. And Christ minister to you to edify you and love you. And this is what Psalm 23 is. But there's a point here. I don't know. Does this work, Avery? Let's see. Is that up there? Okay. This is like a trilogy. Psalm 22. And we'll put here the crucifixion. Psalm 23 is ministry today. This is today. And then Psalm 24 is the Messiah on the earth. This is Revelation 19 through 22. the Messiah. Always get geared to the Messiah, like our whole Bible is about the Messiah. The whole, everything in our Bible relates to the Messiah. When Christ is raised from the dead and he spoke with the disciples, he showed them all the things from the Old Testament regarding himself and the Messiah. It's a huge thing. Now, I share one short thought with you. I used to think, I had this argument, if God is perfect and wise, then why did he make a world that is all so evil, right? Why did he allow the world to be evil? If he is holy, if he is wise, if he knows all things, if he can do everything, could he give free will to man and still control the universe? And of course, we understand that no, they cannot, that cannot be done. As long as there is free will, then people can choose to go against God. So, I thought about it, and then I read in a theology book the other day that the world, it is conceivable, this is a good word, it is conceivable that the world would be perfect now. It's conceivable in the Garden of Eden and then the fall of Adam, it is conceivable, or that the world would have never had any evil in it. It is a thought, it is only, but it's not achievable. It's not possible. It can't happen that this world, as we know it, is not a perfect world. But then the answer came, and this is amazing, this is amazing. It is coming. So it is coming. It's coming here. It's a perfect world. God is wise. God is perfect. His ways are perfect. It is coming. There'll be no death. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sin. There'll be no pain. It'll be a perfect world. That is coming. But why did he make it this way? Because he had to have love in it. And if you have love in the world, then you have to have freedom not to love. You have to have freedom if you have love. So God gave man freedom. Man sinned. The world is, a lot of evil things happen every day in our world. People use this to blame God. But in fact, God is saying to us, it's coming. It's coming. Right now, you live in it in Psalm 23. Right now, this is how we live. The day is coming when Psalm 24 is the Messiah reigns over all the earth. And that day is coming. But he didn't get there without Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is the crucifixion. Psalm 22 is the pain, the suffering. I have in the Scofield Bible here, Psalm 22 is a graphic picture of death by crucifixion, strength exhausted, extreme thirst, hands and feet pierced, the accompanying circumstances, the periods of light and darkness, the casting of lots, all of it literally fulfilled. When it is remembered that crucifixion was a Roman, not a Jewish execution. And then in verse 22, it changes to the resurrection fulfilled in the go to my brethren. And so we have Psalm 22, where God is in an evil world saving us. He is showing us his attributes. We trust his wisdom for what is happening in this world because we just believe that he is all wise. We believe that his ways are perfect. But though now we see through a glass darkly. But maybe this little outline helps you understand a little more about what is the plan of God for us. And it is that Psalm 22 is admitting the nature of the world as being evil and the Son of God is crucified. And then Psalm 23 is, in a word, being a pastor or a shepherd. And we'll look at that. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I don't think there could be a better name for God than a shepherd. That he cares for his sheep. That he lives with us. That he's sensitive to us. That he leads us. That he visits us when we are sick. He carries us when we are tired. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He waters us. He takes care of us all our lives. All our lives. Isn't it amazing? Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Rest. Spiritual rest. Rest. Words. Words of love. Words of comfort. Words that go to your spirit. I was thinking about how in a pastor's life, that in the church, he and many of the pastors in the church, they operate this way. We have a message in the pulpit, but then we have words when we're sitting in the cafe or on the phone, or words of encouragement, words of insight or wisdom or discernment. The shepherd, the Lord is the shepherd, and he has made us shepherds, Revelation 1:6. Because people need to be shepherded. How easy to get off track. How easy to get off. To just go away. Just get lost. How easy to lose my motivation or I just drift and don't care. But the shepherd cares. And he leads us and has us. He teaches us. And we actually have peace. And we actually have love. And we have each other in the work of God. Because there is a kingdom coming, Psalm 24, Revelation 21, and this will all change. But now we need God as our shepherd. Verse 3, he restores my soul. What does that look like when the soul is restored? Guilt is gone. The confusion is gone. Clarity of thought. A sense of connection. Wisdom. He restores our soul or renews our mind. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's very important to God, that we would be righteous for his name's sake. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't think there could be a worse scenario for us, because we fear death. We don't like death, and because death is our last enemy. And that day is coming, perhaps, if we are not raptured. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why are you with me, God? Because the world became so bad, you had to show us your nature in a bad world by being a good shepherd and being with us and carrying us and comforting us in this world, which is for now this way. So he must speak to us. He must give counsel to us. He must encourage us. We had some hundreds of people in Finland who have been all these years very, very precious people in so many ways. And I feel it's because of this, that the shepherd, the Lord, shepherds his people. And I will fear no evil, for you are with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes. Even if God was firm with us, we rejoice in it. If it hurts a little bit, that's better than being ignored, not being helped, not being dealt with. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Have you been at the table, the Lord's table, quietly? Have you been at the table he prepared? I think the devil prepares a table, but the table the Lord prepared, it has a different result that carries us. So he prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, that's amazing. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we think of Ramir with the group in South Dakota, Pastor Ronaldo and Jesse and in Richmond. But this is not, these are not burdens for us. They shouldn't be. Because we find your grace when we walk by faith. We find grace upholding us. Goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. We eat at a table not of legalism, but a table of grace. Not a table of human understanding, but a table of faith. Not a table of our personality or our own ideas and preferences, our culture, our family background. Not a table of our flesh, no. We eat at another table. And that table is prepared for us. And we are able to live in an evil world with grace, healing, restoration, and encouragement. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the churches in Finland. Thank you for your work of grace among us in so many parts of the world. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. No, I will not lack. And I will wander off, but he is a good shepherd. He is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.